You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Hello and welcome, everyone. You've made it to the infamous China Shop. We're Two Bulls. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I don't know. Having trouble getting the energy up. So you're just going to have to carry it, I think, today.
All right. Was that is that because of all your terrible trading today?
No, I think I did all right today.
Yeah, I thought you did too.
Well, I mean, one terrible trade. Get to that, the good, bad, and the ugly.
There we go. Come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. As always, we'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way around, trying to get a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you are new to the shop here, and also stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge and resource centers on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We have all those links in the episode description. Kyle and I feel the best place to be, though, is on our amazing Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day.
Our amazing free Discord.
Free Discord server. We get on there every day with a bunch of awesome people. We're talking about trading. We're talking about news. We're talking about building bots to trade for us. It's just a really awesome place to be. It's a free server. Aren't there any paid tiers or special access areas? Because we don't know how to make money off our community. Hooray!
Still not good at that. But if we figure it out, look out. No.
Yeah, right? Look out, world. When you do join that server, send us a private message or email with your mailing address so we can send you some smash-it-yourself swag straight from the shop. We're just glad you're here. It's a lot of fun, and it's always better with friends. Mm-hmm. Kyle, we got any amazing show news going on?
Yes, we had just finished recording last week with Jonathan Baird, and that interview will be coming out next week. He's the guy who writes the Global Investment Letter. Very sharp dude. 25 years of experience managing funds, so that was a really fun conversation with him.
It really was. Super knowledgeable.
Yeah. I don't think he quite understood that we were more of a comedy show. Yeah. Or at least try to have some comedy element to it. I think we might have thrown him for a loop and we cracked a couple jokes.
Yeah. Always fun.
We got Ian Fraser, author of Shredded, the story of the RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland. That should be a really fun interview. Kay White from Twitter, and then Rich Friesen rounds out the rest of the month.
Oh, I'm excited for that. Rich Friesen is great
stuff. I still don't know Kay. I want to call him Kevin, but I don't think that's his name. I just know his Twitter handle is Kay White, so that's kind of what I've just been going with. I guess we'll figure it out when we talk to him next week.
All right, Kay White. Sounds good. I actually was noticing that on the calendar. I was like, who's Kay White? How do I find out who this person is?
I don't. No.
Man of mystery.
I like him because he's one of the few people on Twitter that'll actually share his struggles too.
Okay. So it's not just some mystery mismatch like, I'm an ornithologist. Isn't this a bird show?
No, he's a trader, but he's an honest trader. And that's, you know, obviously we like to talk to those types of people that don't just show you, you know, the massive wins all the time. But
yeah.
You know, he'll share his struggles, and then he also takes time out to help out other traders on Twitter too. So, really cool dude. Looking forward to talking to him.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's the future. This is the now. And folks, we have got a zany, zesty, zealous show for you today. We have lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than companies having bad earnings this season.
It's actually been kind of mixed. It hasn't been as bad as I would have thought.
All right. Well, apparently, I didn't do enough prep work for that joke. folks, we love it when you reach out to us. Your messages, comments, Twitter, Facebook, really love it on the Discord. We have a link to that, to the Discord in the episode description. But if you are old school, you can send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com, or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe You and your friends have found One-Eyed Willie's treasure map, and you're stuck in some caverns, and you just need a hand. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
I'm trying to see if we have any messages.
One-Eyed Willie? No? Nothing?
No, just any messages. Some random person posted on our website, you should take part in a contest for one of the best blogs on the web. I will recommend this site. Thank you for spamming.
Oh, awesome. Love the spam. Love the spam.
Normally we get some really good ones. I'm trying to see if there's a good one in here. Hello, friends. How is this whole thing? And what you desire to say regarding this paragraph, comma, in my view, is in fact remarkable in support of me. Thank you, Damon Pridham.
Okay. You know what? I have no response to that. I'm speechless.
Yeah. If they're really, really funny, then I'd leave them.
Oh, Kyle, are we going to get around to talk about this bet? I'm excited this week.
I don't think you will be once you hear the results.
I don't even remember what you picked. Do I go first? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I think you probably made more than I did based on that sell-off. I was looking really good with BP.
Mm-hmm.
They opened the week at 32.69. They were up over 34 on Friday before, you know, the last 3 hours happened. They did close at 33.23, so it took my bet total from 531.24 up to 540.02. Yeah, I remember those 2 cents. Those could be
the tiebreaker
later.
Yeah. Well done. Okay, I hung out with my SPXS, which didn't do anything for me really all week.
Until BP started falling.
Exactly. I had a day where it was up. Mostly it was down, but Friday the market really didn't like the news and it just dumped. And I ended the week with SPXS at $19.97, which brings my bet total up to $532.53. So I am within 2 percentage points of you.
But random picked an airline stock, ALK, opened the week at 54.53. And it was almost up to 60 before Friday's dump, which really helped us out. Still finished at 56.84.
Yeah.
So random is now sitting at $571.62.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
$571.62?
On a fucking airline stock.
Oh, yeah. And airlines.
God damn it.
We got lucky. Airlines got so hammered Friday.
Yes, I know.
Wow. That's painful. Okay.
Otherwise, we could have just phoned it in for the rest of the month.
Right. Well, glad to know I'm in last place with up 6%.
I know, right?
Jesus. Okay. We'll see how February keeps playing out. Stick around to the end of the episode. We'll have another thrilling bet pick for you. But until then, I think it's time to maybe talk about a little bit of news.
Boy, howdy.
Where we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
Ooh, boy, Kyle.
Well, should we just start with the big news?
I think we got to talk about Ukraine.
Yeah. I saw this pop up as a small story, just like a little video of saying that Russia has decided to invade Ukraine. And I wasn't sure if it was true or not, but I found a few more articles that corresponded with it.
Correlated?
Sure.
Collaborate?
I don't know.
Confirmed.
So it looks like Russia is going to invade Ukraine probably next week. S&P did not react too well to that news, as you would expect.
It did not. No.
I did pick up some Raytheon June calls at the right before market closed when I finally saw that story. I was like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
Probably want to grab a few of these just to be just in case.
Just in case, you know, and that wasn't even the biggest defense stock to pop on the news.
No, I think Lockheed Martin is Northrop Grumman.
Yeah. were even bigger. Yeah, I picked up some RTX calls at the beginning of the, on the 8th. I was just going to say that, and that was honestly, I had Ukraine in mind, but the technical analysis of the chart looked really solid. So I was like, you know what?
Yeah, it was pushing new highs.
The chart is a place where I'd like to get in anyway, and with looming news, you know, why not?
I wanted to grab it a little closer to 52. I missed the, I think the deepest it went down was just below 54 today. I missed my entry at that point, but I was still able to pick up something for the end of the week. When we talked to Jonathan Baird last week, we asked him specifically about the Ukraine situation and what he thought was brewing there. He was of the opinion that nothing would happen until the Olympics were over.
Yeah.
But if they're invading next week, looks like that's not going to be the case.
You know, I don't remember the details of the conversation, but I believe you brought up the point, like, you got to do it before the ground thaws and turns to mud.
He brought that up, but that was something I've been reading too. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, energy stocks moved up alongside oil stocks on that news as well. It wasn't just defense stocks, but things like Alaska Airlines, the airline stocks fell.
Yeah.
In response. So we saw a huge, huge market reaction across many sectors on that news.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a big deal.
Yeah. And actually kind of scary too, really. I mean, I was talking to the wife about this. This has all the makings of like another major conflict involving some of the biggest nations out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Like, and Biden's not doing anybody any favors by saying the U.S. We're not going to go in there and rescue anybody. If we start shooting at Russians, we have World War III. Good job, Biden. Way to calm everybody down.
Thanks, Prime Minister Chamberlain.
Yeah. So I don't know what the game plan is going to be here. I mean,
just let Russia take Ukraine.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of what they did with Germany back in the 1930s?
Yeah, just let them take Poland. Yeah.
Like, he'll stop with Poland, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they haven't divvied it up with anybody else yet, so that's at least a little bit different.
Yeah, I honestly have no fucking clue. Like, I feel like somebody sat me down to a chessboard, and I'm like, it's going to blow up, but I don't know how it'll play out.
None of the moves look good. Yeah.
None of these moves look good. There's no, can't wiggle out.
I think the term is whatever that German word is. There's no good move. Any move loses. Speaking of which, noted economist Mohammed El Erian thinks that the Fed is basically in that scenario right now too. Basically, he's saying that the market is pricing in a higher probability that the Fed policy is going to be making a huge mistake. He thinks that the aggressive raising of interest rates is not going to be good for the economy. It's basically a lose-lose scenario for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of painted themselves into this position by not taking any action, you know, for the past year when they were calling inflation transitory.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's two blunders. The first blunder was not recognizing that inflation was more than transitory. The second one coming is going to be too aggressive with the rate hikes. Right now, the market's pricing in up to 6 right now, with the target range of the rate hikes anywhere from 1 to 1.25% by the end of the June meeting. And some people are even betting on even steeper rate hikes than that.
Yeah. The article I was reading was talking about how the economists at Citibank are like, there could be a 50 basis point hike in March, which is twice what they were expecting. And they might even do another 50 point in May.
Yeah. And I think that's looking even more likely now. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, one of the voting members of the rate setting community committee, said he's become dramatically more hawkish, and he now wants a rate increase of 100 basis points by July.
Mm, wow.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. CNBC asked El Erian. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Erian. El Erian.
El Erian.
Yeah. They asked him whether it would be an acknowledgement by the Fed that it made a blunder if it went ahead with the move that Bullard suggested. And then he says this would be the second admission of a policy error in his Thursday interview. The first was on November 30th when they finally retired transitory, having miscalled inflation for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And now this policy error would be the starting to slam on the brakes because they didn't take the foot off the accelerator early enough.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, future's not looking great right now. If you want to load up on some puts, now's probably the time.
Well, you know,
it might be a little late.
I do own SPXS calls.
I have a couple of put spreads that expire in March.
You know, we made fun of transitory for a long time, and it doesn't, like, now that we're sitting here, it doesn't feel good to be right.
No, not at all. I was really hoping that we would be. I was really hoping that our lack of education was going to come back to bite us on that.
We're not professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we know? It's like, oh, shit. What?
Yeah. Apparently more than we thought.
More than we thought, right?
But not enough to bet on it.
Yep. Right?
Or at least not with any size.
So
they won't be writing The Big Short about us.
No, not at all. Not at all. Nobody's going to write any mediocre books about us.
Mediocre short.
The clown shorts.
The small winners.
These guys made 2 points on that 3,000 point crash.
Right? I made $700.
Mm-hmm. You know I did.
Anyway, you got any other stories to talk about? I think you had a couple more that kind of correlated with these.
Well, it's just, yeah, more along the lines of what I've been trying to add. I really liked the quote of one Wall Street economist telling clients that they're more hawkish than we thought 5 minutes ago. We had that CPI data came out Thursday.
Yeah, and that CPI data was not good.
Not good. Not good. It was an immediate sell-off. And then, yeah, like the market seemed to catch
and then rebound,
yeah, but it couldn't hold.
This whole latest run up to me has really felt like short covering more than anything else.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned that on the Discord a little bit ago, because all the high short interest stocks that I have on some of my watch lists were the only ones that seemed like they were doing really well, and that's not a sign of people buying.
No,
because
no,
they want to own.
I actually think the rest of my news stories are all company specific.
They're kind of the same thing, huh?
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's move on.
Move on. Oh, well, you know, when you're ready to move on and find a better place to live and you need a mortgage, I may know somebody. Mm. I may know a person.
Do you?
Two Bulls in a China Shop. Proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen, a Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. Kyle, she does not try to find products that don't suit your needs. That's like critical.
Oh, that's
and that's any customer that's service.
Customer service 101.
Yeah, customer service 101. She teaches the masterclass in customer service, let me tell you. She's got over 20 years experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even what Kyle tells me is better than ever, reverse mortgages. Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states. Reach out and see what she could do for you.
Do we need to get Sue on again so
we
she
do
can tell you about reverse mortgages and how amazing they are?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. I think we should.
Put her on the calendar.
All right.
So it's just fun having her on. She's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Best way to reach her, you can give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can send her an email, SPULLEN, that's SPULLEN at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen at fairwaymc.com. That phone number is 520-977-7904.
One of the awesome things that Sue does too when she helps out her clients, like if you were thinking about purchasing a home or doing something along those lines, then talk to her as soon as you get that inkling. Because she'll help you, like if you have credit issues, like she'll tell you what to do to fix that. And she can actually make a big difference in as little as a month's time. So if you're thinking about doing it, call her now. And she also doesn't charge for any of that.
Wow.
Like she should have her own, you know, credit repair service.
Yeah, she can get all those poor dollars from people whose credit is destroyed.
Those are the people that the banks make the most money off of.
I know. It's bad.
So bad.
It's fucked up.
Why are we laughing at that?
Oh, because the world is pain, Kyle.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is also very proud to be affiliated with the TradePro Academy. TradePro Academy is our favorite educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders, which means that you can finally learn to trade like those big institutions. They got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn everything that you need to know to be a successful trader. Mm-hmm. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com or just use our affiliate link in the episode description. Or even better, join that free Discord and get access to our 10% off discount link. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Indubitably. Indubitably.
One more, Dan. One more.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about the amazing, awesome Order Flow Labs guys, Flary and Leo. They were kind enough to share their toolkit with us for trading futures on CR charts. And they've just got some amazing custom studies for structure execution. They got a buy-sell zones. They got exhaustion absorption detectors. The one everybody loves, the reconstructed tape. They got something for everybody. Constantly adding, testing new studies. I've been playing with one on my spreadsheet trading. They've got a dominator signal for buying and selling. It's just really some amazing stuff. They offer a ton of support to help you use it. They got a lot of videos. Their Discord is robust, to say the least. When it comes to support,
yeah, I was like I said, I was shocked at how many videos and Zoom calls that they do to help people learn how to use these tools. Like they're there all the time. I think even Joel posted something saying that he had a question about one of the things he messaged them on Twitter, and within an hour, like, he had a video response showing him exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's
just amazing people.
Really, really, really amazing. If you are trading futures, check them out at orderflowlabs.com. Definitely worth your time. Some of their studies have really treated me very well in bot trading.
Yes. All right. Should we move on to some stocks?
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drops drive us crazy.
All right, Kyle.
Yes, what should we start with?
Can I tell everybody the big news that we probably won't look at any stock charts for?
Go ahead.
Meta, used to be Facebook, has lost so much value. Nvidia just moved up to the 7th place spot in companies the size of market cap.
Poor Meta.
Oh, poor Meta. Nvidia's worth more than you bitches.
Woo! Yeah. All right. What's the first real story?
I got one about Zillow. We talk about Zillow?
Yes, let's talk about them.
We were long on Zillow back before another crazy sell-off.
Before they fell below 55?
Yeah. They did. They looked like they were rallying, and then they decided to decisively not rally. Got down to their low at 44.80. They just had their earnings and their guidance. They came out and said that they're winding down the home flipping business, which started this whole sell-off fiasco.
Yeah.
They actually were selling houses faster than anticipated for more money than they projected.
Wow. I'm looking at their actual earnings, and I mean, that's a hell of a beat. Over 50% surprise to the positive.
Yeah.
The earnings per share and revenue, 30% almost surprise beat.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, that's pretty solid.
So this Zillow just gapped up from 49 to 56. So they gapped up over 10%. They got as high as 58.25 on the day, as low as 53.32. So it's had a pretty volatile day.
And I like where it's at too. I mean, it's above a support that I have around 52.5. Mm-hmm. 58 was where it got rejected off of. That's the next level that it has to climb above in order to maintain this momentum. Just be wary that it left the gap behind on that earnings beat. So, you know, watch to see if that gets filled first before, if this momentum can continue. I still like trying to go long on Zillow. Just not sure if I want to do that right before war breaks out.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do anything before war breaks out besides defensive stocks?
I don't know. I guess, well, maybe short stuff.
Dude, right. Right.
Yeah, I'd probably be watching that to see if maybe that gap tries to get filled. Keep an eye on 52 half.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really eyeing that 52 half. I want to see that support hold. It almost got retested, but if that support can hold, looking for upside on Zillow ever since it crashed from, oh gosh, what, $200 a share?
Yeah, briefly. What else we got? I've got Nokia has started their buyback purchases. They're planning to buy back up to 300 million euros or just about $340 million worth of stock starting at February 14th, the earliest. The first phase is part of a two-year 600 million euro buyback program, which should end by December 22nd of 22. Purpose of the repurchases, optimize the capital structure through the reduction of capital, the company said in a statement. So let's pull up the stock chart of Nokia.
Is that NOK?
Actually, it might actually just be Nokia, unless I have the wrong one here.
That's NOK. It's the European exchange.
It's like, anyway, I thought I was looking at the wrong thing. This is one of those meme stocks before, but it's actually still held its value pretty well looking at the chart. You got a support at, what, 525? Go ahead and draw that in there real quick. 525 and a resistance around... let's call it 635.
That's exactly where I was just drawing a line.
So it's trading in between that range right now. If you, I mean, let's see, what's the actual market cap of this? Market cap of 32 billion. So 600 million is not going to make that big of a difference, I guess. But this is one to watch and maybe try to play that range, or you can just wait for the range to break out and look for a retest. So those are the two levels to really watch on this, 635 and 5.25.
Yeah. If it can break out that range either direction with some volume, be some tasty trading.
Right. Definitely looks more bearish lately. I wouldn't do anything with it yet. I'd wait for it to try to catch and show some support.
Did you just mention the gap from May?
I did not.
It's got a gap below it.
It does. Nice one at 450.
450 down to 430, which doesn't sound like a lot until you convert it to percentage.
Yeah, when you're talking about options and at this price range, that could be a pretty nice move.
Yeah, 5% will get you a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, what's the other one you got?
Oh, Eli Lilly. The FDA committee just voted against their cancer treatment over concerns that they only conducted trials in China.
Why would they pick China for their trial? That's kind of a strange place to do that, is it not?
I agree. I don't know. I don't know anything about the economics of testing a drug and why testing in China might be advantageous. Testing
maybe the fake results.
they're testing a monoclonal antibody treatment on lung cancer in combination with chemo. So the FDA committee members said the trial population of mostly Asian men did not represent the diversity of U.S. patients, making it difficult to determine whether the results would hold up here. They were also worried that the patients in the study were too young and they weren't enough smokers. Yeah.
I thought, isn't China or Asia known for smoking?
I thought so too, but maybe not anymore. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Family Guy jokes about that. Can we please have some more smoking Asians?
The other crazy thing is they started the trial in 2018, but they didn't tell the FDA about it until 2020.
That is very weird.
Yeah, when they like submitted the results, they're like, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, we did this trial in China. Check it out.
What are they trying to pull?
Eli Lilly, right? I don't know. Their stock is not doing too stellar.
I mean, it's still in a bullish move. If you look on the daily, it looks like you're still seeing higher highs and higher lows. But it's also below the 200 EMA now. I had a support at 240 I just drew in, or 239 that just dipped below. Looking at the volume, I want to be bearish on this, but I'm not sure everything is pointing that direction yet. What do you think?
It's definitely making lower lows compared to its most recent low, and it failed its higher high. I'm bearish. It's right at a support line I drew right around 235. It's like right fucking there, 236. I definitely, I'm bearish until 220 hold.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at
that.
Yeah,
there's a real thin spot of volume there. Something happened on, what day is that? June 7th? June. Where it just kind of shot up?
Yeah.
Was that when they announced their cancer treatment?
I don't know what they did. It's probably some drug business or drug company. But, you know, they the other telling thing that makes me a little bearish is they actually did have some good news. The FDA did authorize their antibody treatment to fight the Omicron variant. Mm. But the fact that the stock sold off anyway, that makes me a little more bearish.
Well, I mean, these biotech stocks, I can't imagine that they're going to do well in a world where the interest rates are going up and, we're finally starting to move on from COVID.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm on the bear side with you. I'd like to see a little more confirmation, I guess. Failing off a 239, though, is a good start. So I guess I'll keep an eye on that level there. If we get a retest, then maybe I'll try to enter a position. Shoot for, like you said, that 220 target. I think that's a good target. I think if you dip below that, then you can really start to open it up some more, though, to the downside.
Yeah, I like it.
Me too. All right. What's on your watch list, Dan? Or is it my turn?
It's your turn to talk about some news stuff.
That's all the news I have. I just have one other stock that's still on my watch list I want to talk about, and that's Target.
Okay, let's hear about it.
Pull up the chart and look at that 210 support and how the stock is just bouncing off of it. It's like a bouncing ball. It keeps bouncing lower and lower and lower, but still banging up against it. Like, I'm watching that support to fail. I think if that support fails, then we could be looking at 200. If 200 fails, then it can really open up to the downside. Target's one of those stocks that just kind of went up a little bit too fast, it looks like.
Yeah, I like that 200 level.
The more times it bangs against it like that, the less likely it's going to be to hold.
Oh, 210? Yeah, just had three days in a row.
3 days just before, then there was a couple days even before that. Basically, since January 26th, it's been kind of banging against it. I think once this thing breaks, look for 200.
Sorry, I was looking at the weekly.
Mm. Oh.
Way better on the daily. See how many times it's clanged into it, for sure.
Yeah, so I think I'll probably be looking at puts and Target come Monday morning.
Wow. They're coming down off at 260. I think, like you said, too much too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
look at that. Costco's kind of another similar one. I mean, Costco's up over 500. I remember looking at that when we first started doing this and buying calls when it was trading below 300. I'm thinking that was kind of excessive.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's on your watch list?
I've been looking at Kroger again.
Should we call you Warren Buffett?
Yeah. Yeah. Buffett knows a thing or two. When did he buy Kroger? Back at 30?
Oh, God. It was a while ago. Okay, so what are you liking?
I'm liking how it held that $43 area as support pretty darn well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to be marching right back up. The volume today was decent. You know, hit average. Hasn't had an average day in a while. Well, I should say almost kissed average. And I think especially as things open up and we're hearing news stories about states removing mask mandates. I just think the retail has got room to grow, and they're sitting at their highs with some upward movement. I just like it.
One thing I would be worried about is if the $47, I think I would draw a support or a resistance line there. I'd want to see it over that 47 just to make sure it's not about to print a head and shoulders.
That's a very, very real possibility. We'll find out.
Yeah, you got to actually finish the chart or pattern to actually make the pattern, right? It's kind of hard to look at one halfway through.
It's good because it is setting up. Like, you can see if that 47-47.25 area holds as resistance, then that's a break and retest, right? On the bear side.
Right.
From the highs. Also could be a really solid trade.
I mean, also could be, I guess it's not really a double bottom, but I do like the way that 43 held. I also like the volume. Looks like it's starting to turn up after it crossed. I must have done this, looked at this stock a while ago, or not too long ago, because I have a level drawn at 45.5.
Yeah, we did. That's why I was like, I'm looking at it again.
Yeah. When I got past that 45 half, it looks like the volume started ticking up. So keep an eye on the volume as it approaches that 47. If I can get past that with good volume, yeah, I would like it to at least try to retest the highs, which was right about $50 a share.
And that's all-time highs.
Yeah.
You know, I love me some all-time highs.
Woo! Yeah.
Look out, baby. Really, really haven't been looking at too many stocks, to be honest. I mean,
nah, you've been spending a lot of time trying to build bots lately. Bots.
We already talked about Raytheon. I've been looking at them a lot this week. I did make a BlackBerry trade today.
I saw that.
They're hitting 52-week lows.
Oh, goddamn BlackBerry.
Yeah.
All right. Should we do some earnings? And
yeah, let's hear about some earnings. Move on?
Otherwise, we're just kind of rambling.
Yeah.
Let's see. Valentine's Day, we've got Palantir. On the 15th, we've got Airbnb, Roblox, Marriott, and Baidu. On the 16th, we have NVIDIA, Cisco, Shopify, Kraft Holding, Trade Desk. On the 17th, we've got Walmart, Roku. And the 18th, we've got the John Deere Company and DraftKings. What's next? Do some crypto talk?
Yeah.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency. Like Elon Musk tweets his Doge. The cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Oh, okay. All right, Kyle,
yes.
Can we talk about some crypto for a second?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
Okay, good.
Can we talk about the Super Bowl one that you shared? I want to know more about that.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to bring up. As we all know, the Super Bowl is basically when advertisers get together to really bring their A game.
Yeah.
It's kind of just an advertising showcase.
Yes.
There just happens to be, I guess, a football game involved. I don't know. I never watched that.
There is sometimes.
Sometimes. Occasionally they'll play some football.
More often there's nipples.
Lord. It's like the most expensive time to play a TV commercial, right?
Yeah, the cost this year is $6.5 million, I think.
For 30 seconds. Whoa. Yeah, 30 seconds. Yeah, so one of the things that we're about to see, apparently the news is out about what ads are going to be shown. FTX Trading and Crypto.com, they're among a group of crypto companies that have already purchased spots in the game.
I like this line here. The audience is a diverse mix, 4 in 10 viewers between the ages of 18 and 49, a group that falls squarely in the demographic of crypto customers. What in the fuck is a crypto customer?
That's a good question.
That is such a weird way to phrase that. Like, are we options customers?
We are to the broker, right?
I guess.
Somebody calls them that, though. Exactly like what a broker would tell you.
It sounds like what an old man is saying. Like, those crypto customers, you know, they got to buy their crypto. If you're going to have it.
Got to go down to the crypto store.
Also, I just watched a Carlin special the other day.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Super Bowl ads specifically. And like, this is even making reference to it. Beer and car companies. Like, yeah. Here's the car to drive, and here's the beer to drink while you drink. You drive it. Fuck you.
I have noticed an uptick in crypto advertisements. I actually was in a movie theater, and as so often I find in my life, I start laughing and nobody else is making any noise. It was Matt Damon, and it's like this fucking
lost money on him.
Gritty, adventurous imagery, and then it ends with like cryptocurrency. Fortune favors the bold.
Oh God, the latest South Park has really been making fun of that. By the way.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah.
Load that up.
A lot of people lost money because of Matt Damon.
Yeah, right. A lot of people. And it did. It came out like while Bitcoin was at 60,000. What struck me, and we've talked about this before, is like, why are people spending so much money to attract and try and entice people to buy crypto?
Yeah, yeah, it's such a strange thing.
Like, could you imagine Matt Damon doing the same thing, but be like, invest in stocks?
Or buy euros.
Buy the euro. Fortune favors the bold.
What's the Zimbabwe currency?
Are you bold? Try some Turkish lira.
Yeah, there you go.
So the fact that they're spending all this money advertising to get people to start playing crypto, like, I don't think that's good news for crypto. Maybe it could be. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, it depends on what your ultimate goal is. If your ultimate goal is to try to get some sort of regulation going and make it, you know, more stable and respected, then this might be the kind of thing that leads to that.
I mean, I just must be a cynical bastard because I'm like, they're all holding crypto and they want to sell it to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, Matt Damon must have. He probably got paid in crypto and then had to sell it. So he needed to do the ad in order to sell it. Yeah.
Mr. Damon, we are prepared to give you 10 billion Dogecoin. Oh, shit. 10 billion sounds like a lot.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. Shit. I did have another crypto news story that I found intriguing.
What's that?
Over in South Korea, 7 crypto exchange executives were given prison sentences for $1.7 billion in fraud.
Really?
Yeah, so they actually, these crypto execs are going to jail over their fraud. Yeah, the former V Global CEO Lee Byung-gol was sent to prison for 22 years in order to pay 106 billion won fine by a court in Suwon, the country south. They, let's see, 10 billion won is $8 million.
You should know that conversion from watching Squid Games.
Yes. I actually, when I watched Squid Game, was when I first pulled it up. I was like, how much fucking money are they talking about? God damn it. I need to know.
He's getting his ass kicked over $500.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Have a little respect together. For yourself.
Figure it out. Figure it out.
Yeah. So apparently they were only accepting users that deposited over 6 million won.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be $5,000. So it's a $5,000 buy-in, and they promised that they would triple the investment.
Oh, yeah. Anytime somebody promises you something like that, that's not a, yeah.
Yeah, they did, and they were doing it with their own crypto token. And then on top of that, they were giving investors commission for referring new users. And that
sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, right. They're giving them $1,000.
Right.
So I put in $5,000 and I get you in, and then they give me another grand. Like, yeah, this sounds like a pyramid scheme.
It sounds a lot like a pyramid scheme.
they hooked over 50,000 people. So
I mean, yeah.
Boom.
If you're going to get involved in a pyramid scheme, get in at the top.
Unless it's an upside down pyramid scheme and you want in at the bottom.
I did see something pop up about the Justice Department announcing the arrest of a couple in New York that was charged with conspiring to launder stolen Bitcoin linked to the 2016 hack of an exchange where $4.5 billion worth of cryptos went missing.
Whoa.
So about $3.6 billion from that hack has been recovered so far, what Justice officials said on Tuesday. It's the largest seizure to date. I thought the whole point of like crypto is that like, well, I guess they caught them. So obviously, you know, there is a digital trail with these things.
Well, each currency, it's got its own identifying numbers on it, right? Like a bill.
Was it 4.5 billion as of 2016 dollar figures, or is it 4.5 billion as of like, you know, today's?
I don't know.
I think we should also say real quick too, because I think lately it seems like this segment has been bashing crypto.
Yeah, I got nothing against it.
No, we bash the little cryptos, the scam coins, the shit coins. I think you and I both like Ethereum as one.
Absolutely.
Bitcoin is definitely a mainstay. I have other ones that I do like too, but I don't know, man. Just they need to get their shit together so we can talk about good stuff.
Right? Hey, Bitcoin, the support, it's just in the 30,000s, it held. It's back up over 42,000, so.
Ethereum was hitting 3,000 again. Looks like it fell a little bit following this latest news.
You ever get tempted to play the Ethereum futures?
No.
Me neither.
I have a hard enough time with the ESs. Let me figure out how to trade the micros first, and then I'll move on.
Fair enough. I actually...
Draw.
Oh, shit! Right when I was about to say something about Ethereum.
Oh, go ahead.
I
do that while I shoot you.
I'm just saying it looks like Ethereum had a resistance at 3,000 hold, and the volume on the downside is increasing, so maybe it's not done. Maybe it wants to retest 2,000.
I think, anywhere closer to, below 2,000, I think I might be looking to add.
Yeah. 1750 is the big,
yeah,
big support. Yeah. Anyway. All right. I guess you already got your gun on me, so I'm fucking dead. My good this week was, strangely enough, RTX calls.
Yeah.
I'd feel better if it was not news related and it was just a chart catch.
Right.
Because that's originally what drew me to it.
Mm-hmm.
We had some rumors, as troops were mounting. I was like, oh, let me look at their chart. And I was like, oh, wow, I love this chart.
Yeah. Well, you got into a really good point too. Yeah.
Then that's what makes it my good is on the 8th, I had it, the chart loaded up and watching and just pounced when 93 held.
I also like that you went really far out as far as the time goes. You gave yourself a lot of time to...
Yeah, I got June calls.
So if that 93 does fail, you're not going to lose too much
of that
premium if you have to cut it, because you're going to have so much time.
Right.
In fact, when I made my RTX trade, I went with the same strike. I went with the same June expiration for that reason.
Yeah, because 91 could still hold and 91 half and keep the move going.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it's going to test it anytime super soon. Definitely my good. And it had to do with my good, not just picking the stock, but using the charts to find a good entry and to identify, identified that 93 level. And in the morning it poked down there and just started moving up. I don't remember what time. I'd have to look up to know exactly what time of day, but yeah, it moved on. And then it's always feels good to get in a trade for the right reasons at the right time. And then like, it just immediately goes green and stays green. I'm starting to feel like maybe I do know a little bit.
Just remember to get paid when you can.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, that's my good. It was my TSM trade. I bought some puts on the, I think it was the 8th, $118 puts, because it looked like it was failing that 125 resistance again, in which case then, I was looking for a pullback, ultimately down to 113, but I just wanted to see a failure of that top. I didn't buy enough time in order to get, to be able to try to play that entire range.
Yeah.
I'd probably jumped the gun on getting into that. I probably should have waited for I don't remember what the date was, but it had to spike up to like 128 and got like immediately smacked down. Like that would have been a much better time to try to get into that. But the actual position, once I had it, I felt like I managed it really well. I did not hesitate to get paid. I was actually at the grocery store today when I pulled up the chart, just like, oh, let's see how the markets are doing. And then saw everything was tanking. It's like, oh shit. So a position that was, underwater is now suddenly up, almost 40%. Immediately, sold out a 2/3 of that so that way I can keep a runner going. Then I actually closed out the runner today and closed it out at like the perfect point. I think I got $2.10 for that contract, and that was pretty much at the bottom.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah. So I felt really good about how I managed that trade. Not necessarily how I got into it, but the trade management was really well done.
Once you were in it, right. Right.
Yeah. What was your bad?
My bad was the BB I traded.
Yeah.
It's not ugly, but I went in lotto. I saw BB sinking towards 7 and was like, oh, look, there's only like what, 4 or 5 hours left in the day, but, or maybe even 3, less than that. But, immediately thought, oh, the $7 puts are going for 2 cents a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I risked all of $10. It was just literally like, I want to be trading. I see this setup, I'll go ahead and do it. But I didn't want to like really risk anything. So I bought five of them. thinking that what I'd seen in the past was Ameritrade didn't have the commissions on the under 5 cents. And I think a contract, but I think that's only true if you bought them for a lot more than when you're exiting. And you bought them for a lot. I think they do that.
Yeah, I've only seen it when I'm closing a position. If it's like almost worthless, then they just kind of give it to you, it seems like.
I ignored all of the commissions and was like, all right, I bought them for 2 cents. BlackBerry, they were $7.15 a share. And when they got down to like $7.05, I was like, sweet. I sold four of them at 4 cents. And then they didn't ever break seven. So I thought, oh, I'll get out this last one at a penny. And then, you know, sweet. I made, you know, maybe with a 20%.
Yeah.
However, when you reminded me of commissions and I pulled up the trade, I spent $13.30 to buy them. When I sold the four at four, I got $13.35. So I was only up a nickel. And I sold the last contract. I pay commissions on that too. So even though I sold it for a dollar, I only got 34 cents. So I made 39 cents on the trade.
Yeah, you got to be careful with commissions, especially when they're really, really cheap like that.
And they're really, really cheap.
They really eat into your profits.
I would have been okay if I'd sold them all at 4 cents. I would have managed, you know, 20, 30% gain. You know, you may make like $3 on $10 of risk. But that's not what happened. And it was bad because I wasn't trading with my full brain and even looking to see if there were commissions.
Yeah, I always check that confirmation.
Well, what was your bad?
My bad was strain from my plan again. Yes, today. Ah, God damn, this one really hurts because I took a trade because I'd just been sitting around too long. I think I tricked myself into thinking one of my levels had failed. I tried to grab what I thought was a retest and then just took a full stop on it. That snafu, or that not following my plan, basically cost me another green day. Because when that level really did fail and really did retest, I was able to get, you know, a 23 point trade on it. But when you lost 20 points trading not to plan, you basically end up with a scratch day.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
So the good thing is that I think that might have been the first not to plan trade I made this week. And that is really good progress from where I was, you know, a month ago. So every time that this reinforces, I think I get a little bit better. And luckily, this is a day that didn't cost me, you know, a drawdown. I was able to make the mistake and still be basically break even.
Yeah.
What was your ugly?
I don't think I have an ugly this week.
All right. I do.
Okay. Well, let's hear about your ugly.
I need to figure out something to figure out why I do so much better on sim versus live. It seems like lately most of my big wins are on sim and most of my losses are live. And that is not a good formula for success.
Not at all.
Like I'll sit around in live, wait, finally make my trade. If it goes against me, okay, then I flip the sim to try to, you know, practice and get better. And every time it seems like I go to sim, I'm making just fucking killer trades. And I'm not sure why there's such a disconnect between the live and the sim button. Like, why do I make such better entries when I'm on sim versus when I'm live?
Yeah. Huh.
And I think it has to do with there's like less hesitation. Like, I know it's not real money, so I don't hem and haw about it. Because a lot of times when I'm sitting live, I notice that like I'll debate with it. And then by the time I actually place the order, it's too late. You never touches it again, the move happens, and then I'm just, you know, stuck chasing if I want to try to get in or waiting for another one.
Yeah.
So I got to figure something out with that. I just need to, one, I think my plans are getting better. So I think the focus for next week is when I see the setup and it happens, I just need to, you know, less hesitation, take the trade if it's to my plan and the conditions look right.
Yeah.
Or have somebody swap my live and sim button so I don't know.
So you don't know.
So I think I'm live when I'm on sim and sim when I'm on live.
Right. Hammer that sell button when it's at the top.
I know, right? Then I get the message that says I'm out of margin.
You're out of margin. You can't add another contract.
Wait, what?
Oh, man.
Did sim put this function in?
If you figure it out, you let me know because I have the same recipe for disaster.
I think it's just got to be, I mean, just going to have to get, just keep doing it. Eventually you get comfortable with it, right?
You get comfortable or burn out the account.
Yeah, one or the other. Should we do a bet?
I guess it's time to do a bet. I don't have a fucking clue what I'm going to pick.
Stocks, mama, in the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread. It's the mighty bet.
I think you made the least, though.
Oh, okay. I guess I can go first. I think I'll just go with target.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If it's above 210, I want to be long. If it's below 210, I'll short it. Take profits at 220 or 200.
Okay.
And that I'll just base that on Monday. So if it opens below 210 on Monday, then I'll be short with the stop at 210 or maybe at a dollar to either direction. If I'm short, it'll be 211. If I'm long, it'll be 209.
Okay. Kyle's got target.
Actually, I think I'll just short it. I don't want to be long it.
So you don't want to try it, huh?
I don't think so. Be short, put a stop at 220.
Now, my personal account is still long on the SPX, right? I'm still a bear for the market. And I don't want to be boring and just be like, yep, and I'm still a bear. Should I short Ethereum?
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. It'll be my first crypto trade in the bet ever. We'll see what happens. I'm going to short Ethereum.
Why not? I like it.
Now, they're 24 hours, so I just short them at the open on Monday.
Yeah, I think that's what we did when Random picked Bitcoin.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Or you can look and see if there's a trust that you can trade as a stock ticker, like BTC for Bitcoin. I think it was BTC.
All right. Well, I'm going to go short Ethereum as long as it's over 24. 500 still, no, 20. How much can it do in a weekend?
70%.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to short
up or down.
Just going to short it on Monday. I'm just going to short it on Monday like a good schoolboy. And then now it's time for a random.
Yeah. Odd or even?
Even.
And 1 through 12.
2.
All right. You picked NASDAQ defensive.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding. It's capital. Oh. Capital goods. C-A-M-T.
C-A-N-T.
Camtech. C-A-M. M as in Mancy.
Oh. M as in Mancy. Love it. Okay. Well, I mean, I could see the case either way. It's not as clear cut as Alaska Airlines. As the last two.
Yeah. With any luck, this one will just die.
Yeah.
Have we had a stock on the bet yet go to zero?
No.
It'd be too much to ask for to have one of those now.
Right. Yeah, where's the fucking biotech company that their drug trial loses that week?
Right.
All right. Well, there you have it. Kyle is short target. I'm going to short Ethereum just for, you know, why not mix it up? And
I like it. I like it.
Random is CAMT, Camtech Limited. Stay tuned. Come back next week. We'll let you know how we all did. We'll have a lot more thrilling news to talk about. Probably some cool charts. I don't know.
Hopefully some better news.
Yeah. Hopefully some better news.
Hopefully
we'll see.
Happy news. Yeah.
Aliens have come to the Earth and they've given us world peace and unlimited energy and resources.
You're making the show obsolete.
Yeah. Goodbye, folks. All right. Till next time. Bye. Happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.